to God. Good morning to all of you. Now, who here knows what one of the most popular and well-known mottos of the Boy Scouts is? Be prepared. That's right. Yeah, and this is an important thing, to be prepared. You don't want to be caught unprepared for the world and life around you. It's a lesson everybody should learn. And there are those times when we are unprepared, when we do find ourselves facing something that we have no idea how to deal with. I remember this past spring. You remember the past winter we had that we hope doesn't repeat, where it was so cold and everything in the world froze. Well, it was springtime and I was in the kitchen. You know, things were starting to warm up and thaw a little bit. And all of a sudden, I heard this noise off in the distance, like a rushing river by my house. And I thought, yeah, that's funny, being that I live downtown, I don't really have too many rushing rivers nearby, no streams or anything like that. And you know, I didn't think much of it. And then I thought, you know, my neighbor shouldn't really be watering anything. That would be an awful long time to water something. Let me go check out what's going on. I step outside, and of course, you know, the side faucet on the house is just gushing water. And I thought, well, that's crazy. I wonder how it became, you know, undone. And so I go to turn it and shut it off. No good. Everything there has been, I guess, busted apart in the winter. And the only thing that kept it from gushing was, of course, that it was frozen solid like everything else. And so here I was, staring at this gushing water, completely unprepared and having no idea how to handle it. I mean, eventually I turned the water off and, you know, figured out what to do. But you know, there are times like that in life when we find ourselves utterly unprepared. And therefore, being as prepared as you can is important. Then there's also those times where you're somewhat prepared, but things are worse than you thought. Like this past weekend when I've been cleaning my house. You see, there's a big tour that we have in the neighborhood and of houses to raise money for the association. And there's a pre-tour that happens tonight. And then there's a party house. And my wife volunteered us to be the party house for the pre-tour. And so the whole neighborhood literally is going to come over to my house this evening. And so I spent a lot of time. Amelia's busy with her business, you know, retail, Christmas and everything. So I spent a lot of time this week and weekend cleaning up. And you know, normally, I'd just spruce up a bit, and that would be good enough. But, you know, when strangers are coming over, I mean, the whole neighborhood, when there's that chatty neighbor that doesn't like you, and you think they're going to, you know, spread all sorts of rumors about you, then, you know, all of a sudden, your eyes widen, and you see all these things. You say, oh, goodness, that's so junky. I got to take care of that. Or, I never noticed that light plates had smudges on them. How do I get rid of those? And we have those times in our life where we think we're prepared, but as we get into it, as we get further down the road, we realize that we weren't as prepared as we thought. Now, these two types of preparedness are ones that I could talk a lot about, I could go on about. And in fact, you probably assume from the sermon title that that's what I'd be talking about. And perhaps I would equip you with tools to be further prepared in life. You know, the spiritual magic eraser that you can clean those light switches with. But no, I'm talking about a different preparedness today. One that we're not perhaps as accustomed with, but one that is very important for the Advent season, and that is being prepared for a blessing in your life. Sometimes we're equally unprepared for that. Now, my mother is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Roll Tide, that's all I'm saying. And I went down there to visit with her and my stepdad. And we had a great time for Thanksgiving. And, you know, my mother went to school in University of Alabama. After she retired, she went back and finished her music degree. And she sort of met my stepdad through that manner. But when she was in Tuscaloosa. She had never imagined she would permanently live there. She had a house in Birmingham, much bigger city, north of Tuscaloosa a bit. And she always thought, boy, I can't, you know, I enjoy my stuff. I can't wait to get out of Tuscaloosa. Can't wait to move on. I'm tired of this little town. I just don't like it. It's just all about college football and all that sort of stuff. Can't wait to leave Tuscaloosa. So what does she do? Marries a man that lives in Tuscaloosa. Not a good way to get out of Tuscaloosa. All right? So she moves in, and they're in his house, and a beautiful house, and she really loves the house. She loves Bill, of course, but, man, she just doesn't really care for Tuscaloosa. And every time we go down, I try to encourage her. And she says, there's nothing to do here in this town. There's just nothing, no cool stuff at all. So Amelia and I, you know, down there, a little bored, people turning in, we say, let's check out Tuscaloosa and see what there is to do. Let me tell you, there's some cool stuff in Tuscaloosa. Now, I don't want you to think I spent all my time in bars, but we went to this fantastic bar that had all these microbrews from all over, including the first microbrew from the very first female brewer in the state of Alabama, and boy, she makes some good beer, let me tell you. The point is, there was a lot of cool stuff in Alabama and Tuscaloosa. But my mother, God bless her, wasn't ready to hear that, wasn't ready to receive that blessing. She had expectations and ideas that didn't allow that to come in, and I pray that, because I think she's going to be there for a while, whether she likes it or not, I pray that she does receive that blessing at some point. Now, our Advent readings are a passage from Isaiah, and then really a passage from Mark that highlights that passage from Isaiah, deal with the blessing that is going to come. That Isaiah says that your time of suffering is over. You've paid enough. Your time of joy will be here. And that we need to prepare for this. We need to make our path straight in the wilderness. We need to clear out all these mountains. We need to basically clear things away for this great blessing. And this is repeated in our Mark passage. Now, you know, I've read this scripture a couple of times, and you know, oftentimes I think about, well, the things I'm not doing right, you know, well, maybe that's what I need to clear. Maybe that's what the mountains are. I need to, you know, get myself on the straight and narrow here and clear up those mountains of, you know, things I know aren't the best for me, but I do anyway. And I need to make myself ready. Perhaps need to get myself ever so further from the far place of perfection that I exist. But you know, this time when I read it, I thought maybe there is something else to it. Because I think sometimes we put all sorts of mountains in the way. We make our paths in life much windier than they need to be. We have expectations about what the world is supposed to be, what we are supposed to receive, perhaps what our career is supposed to be, perhaps who we envision we are supposed to fall in love with or marry or where we're supposed to live. These aren't different from expectations that the Jews had when Jesus came as the Messiah. They were expecting all sorts of things. I mean, first and foremost, they were expecting a Messiah that would come in and kick some Roman butt, get him out. I mean, you know, whatever he did after that is fine, but that's first and foremost, that this was a Messiah who's going to be a great king and rule. And think about how many of those folks weren't able to receive the Son of God, the Messiah, right in front of them because they had all of these expectations, all of these mountains of their own thoughts in the way of receiving that blessing that was right before them. And how many of those mountains do we have today? You know, sometimes I think life is really not as difficult as we think it is. That's not to say we don't have challenges. That's not to say we don't have true tragedies. That's not to say that there aren't darknesses in our lives that we look for that light of Christ to help alleviate. But that being said, there are times when we make things much more complicated. And so the preparedness that I would like to encourage this season of Advent is to be prepared to accept the gift of Christ in all sorts of ways in your life. To be prepared to accept God's gift of love and the love that is around you. To perhaps try and accept some joy. There's all sorts of excuses we can come up with for why we aren't happy. But oftentimes, they are just excuses. And so, accept the peace of Advent. Accept the joy of Advent. Accept the love of Advent. Accept these miraculous things and dare to hope in Advent for the joy that is not yet received. Clear out those paths. Clear out those mountains. You never know. You might even enjoy Tuscaloosa in the process. Amen.